Down there at Pine Mountain in Harlan County, where I was born, they got a spring that's been on the side of that mountain up above Beachport for ever since I was a boy, and there come a drought one time. I well remember they had to take barrels, and all the other springs dried up in the rivers and everything, and they'd go up there and they'd cart the water down from that spring on the side of the road there. And all the other springs and the creeks and the hollers had dried up. That spring still run. They've got it piped down today, and it feeds Green Hills School there. They got it piped, and they don't have to have any pressure behind it. They got it coming down off of Pine Mountain. There's plenty of pressure. Amen. Praise God. So that's the way of a good spring. You'll find it way up on high, running down off the mountain. Many a time when I was a boy, I laid down at one of them springs, one of them hollers, and blowed back all the leaves and everything with my breath, and sucked on that good water that come down out of them mountains, and it felt like it was so cool, and it went right down to the bottoms of my feet. Oh, that's the kind of water I like, the kind that can quench your thirst, praise God. Now we read here in the 15th chapter of Joshua, 16th verse, and Caleb said, "He that smiteth Kirjathaim and taketh it, to him will I give Asher, my daughter, to wife, Asay. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Asay, his daughter, to wife. Came to pass as she came unto him that she moved him to ask of her father a field. So he asked him, and she lighted off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, What wouldest thou? Who answered, Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a southland. Now he gave her the southland. I like that. Praise God. If there's anything I like, it's good weather. She gave him the southland, but she said, I want something to go with the southland. I want you to give me some springs of water. So he gave her the upper spring and the thither spring. Praise God. Hallelujah. And the one on the bottom, the one that was down low, no doubt it would dry up. But this woman had a good mind. She knew that if you had the upper spring, the lower spring would be all right all the time. Praise God. So she got the spring, and she got the land. Praise God. And you can't do anything with the land. She could have just asked for the land, but the spring is what waters the land. And if you don't have the spring, bless God, you can have thousands of acres. Won't do you a bit of good. Out in west, when I've been out there, there's range land that runs for thousands of acres. But the only thing that makes it any count is the person that's got the water rights. Praise God. So you got to have the water to go with the land. If you don't have the water to go with the land, you ain't going to raise anything. Now, we like all those good old country things like shuck beans and all them other things, and those things come because you got water to water the land with. Not a seed want to grow, not a tree would grow, not a blade of grass. If you didn't have water, that waters the land. So you got to have water to water the land. Way over here in Numbers, we find that the princes and the nobles, they came down to a place, they needed water, had no water, and they begin to cry out, and we find out here that the Lord spake unto Moses to gather the people together, and he said, I will give them water. So the lawgiver said, I want you to dig right here. Now it doesn't make any difference what your station is, how high up you are, how low down you are. You still got to have the water, praise God, hallelujah. If you don't have the water, you don't have life. Without water, this planet would soon dry up, and it dust away, and all the inhabitants of the earth would perish off the face of the earth. We have to have that water, don't we? Praise God. So we found the princes and nobles, and the lawgiver said to them, said, right here, I want you to dig right here. Now, in that part of the country, you couldn't dig everywhere and dig a well. The ridge that I live on, you could dig a well, but it won't do you no good. It's cap rock country. Praise God. Ain't no water up there. Praise God. Man down below me, in order to get his house on the GI Bill, he had to dig a well. Praise God. He dug him one, but it ain't got nothing in it. Praise God. Hallelujah. He had to do that just to get the house. Praise God. But you take this place, the Lord knew about. He knew about it. There was places in that part of the country
according to what I can read, where that there would be places where the water would be close to the top of the ground. Praise God. So the lawgiver, which was God Almighty, knowing where that the water was at the top of the ground, said to them, dig right here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now let me tell you something. You can't get to water everywhere. You can't get to water down at Disneyland. You can't get it at a football game. Can't get it at a ball game. But if you come to an old-fashioned altar, praise God, kneel right down on your knees, you can get a drink of that living water and you'll never thirst again. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something about this water. They begin to dig. They didn't have a mattock to dig with. Never had a hole to dig with. Never had a shovel to dig with. But they begin to dig with their staffs. And they dig that well with their staffs. Now, if you don't think that was a hard job, bless God, we're talking about princes and nobles. We're not talking about the man that tilled the ground and had the calluses on his hands. We're talking about them that sat in the tents and had the good life, bless God. They begin to dig, no doubt, as their hands slid up and down on that sap, as they dug with those sticks, trying to dig a well of water. They got blisters on their hands, bless God. But after a while, the sand began to fly, and the dirt began to fly, and they dug down with those staffs, and the dirt began to be damp, and after a while, came forth water.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yes. That was great. She said to them, said, I not only want the land, but I want the water. They said, we need water. He said, dig it for yourself. Praise God. I'll show you where it's at, but you dig the well. Praise God. Now we'll show you where it's at. We'll tell you that you need to repent of your sins. Come of a contrite and a broken spirit. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, and you shall be saved. We'll tell you where the water's at, where you can drink the water and live forever. We'll tell you all about that. But bless God, when it comes to getting the water, you got to get the water yourself.
One time my poor old father-in-law in the dead of winter, he was feeding his stock. He spilt out some ground corn on the floor. Amen, there in the gangway of the barn. And the little birds, they were flipping around there. And he started to gather it back up, put it in a sack. Then he saw them birds flipping around there. He just dropped it back on the ground. He said, all right, boys. He said, the Lord's provided you a meal down here. He said, but I'm not going to feed you out of my hand. I don't have time. I got other things to do. You'll have to come down off your perch and get it. Praise God. Hallelujah. And that's the way it is today, folks. If you want to be saved and you're lost and undone, you've got to come and drink of the water of life freely yourself.
Amen. Here we have it. Oh, yes. Now the water supplies our every need. 104 Psalms. We'll find this. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Coverest thyself with light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a curtain. He layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters. Now his chambers is in the waters. Who maketh the clouds his chariot, walk upon the wings of the wind. Who maketh the angels, spirits his ministers, flame it far. Who laid the foundation of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. Thou coverest it with a deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. Thy rebuke, they fled at the voice of thy thunder. They hastened away. They go up by the mountains. They go down by the valleys into the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. He sendeth the springs into the valleys. Hallelujah. And which run among the hills. They give to drink every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. Hey, he watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of his works. All of this comes down off the mountain. The springs flow down the mountains into the valleys and make the valleys green. Is it any wonder that any time any man of God, woman, or child that ever decided they needed anything from God went up on the mountain to get it, bless God. Those are where the waters are the best, is up on the mountain. You can get the waters after they pass down off the mountain and through the valley, but you might pick up a lot of things. But if you go to the source of the water, praise God, way up on the mountain, and find where the water flows right out of the rock, bless God, you can get you a drink that'll quench your thirst. We need to go up on the mountain from time to time. We need to go where the source of the water is, kneel right down, and get a hold of God for ourselves. If there's anything that I see nowadays, more than anything, a lot of our young people are not getting the deep experience that I got when I got saved. I feel it is necessary that you get a deep and moving experience with God. You can be satisfied with the water at the bottom of the mountain. You can be satisfied with a little drop on your tongue. But if you really want your thirst quenched, he that hungered, thirst after righteousness, gonna be filled, bless God. But all you gotta do, you gotta go to the source of the water. Go to Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Kneel right down and talk to your Savior. Tell him that you wanna be not only a Christian, but be on fire for him in every facet of your life. Familiar scripture. He went to the well. There come the woman from Samaria. The woman was so blinded that she could not understand. We're preaching about a spring, about digging a well. The woman couldn't understand that she had walked up with her water pot, and she come to the place where the spring and the well met. Praise God. She'd been to the well a lot of times. She'd let her water pot down for a natural drink of water. Oh yes, hallelujah. She'd done that all of her days, no doubt. But when she put her water pot on her shoulder and left out that day, she had no idea she's going to meet up with the spring right next to the well. This is where the spring and the well meets, folks, hallelujah. You can have the well that's of the world. There's a drink out there if you want it, but it will not quench your thirst. But oh, if you'll just be to where you open your eyes and see that every good and perfect gift coming from above, there are things God can give you that's far beyond your imagination. All you have to do is know that not only is there a well, but there is a spring. She walked up there, blind as she could be, not knowing that something had changed. Not only was there a well there, there's spring there now. Oh, yes. And this spring was an artesian spring. It is the spring that springs up. Oh, yes. Over there when the children had the princes and nobles dig the well with their staffs, they begin to sing a song. They sang, spring up, O well of waters. Spring up, O well of waters. And they sang while they dug. Let me tell you something. If you're going to get anything from God, old Jimmy Lamb used to say to them, children, dig them. Praise God. Those are his favorite words. You know what he's talking about? If you want to get anything, you've got to dig. Go to the altar of prayer. Don't be worried about who sees you there, but dig, dig, dig. Every time the altar's open, you dig more, dig more. The old folks said, dig down until you see the fire fly from the rocks. This woman, she came to him. He said, woman, give me a drink. Huh? She said, what have the Pharisees to do with you Jews? Come on now. We don't have no dealings with each other. The bigotry that was in her heart was awful. Huh? Too blind to see that the spring was there. And I see sinners the same way. And I see, bless God, I hate to say this, see some church people that's just as bad. Come on now. The spring is right in front of them and they ain't got sense enough to know. They tell me a man can become delirious on the desert and be within a few feet of water and not have the energy, or not have the get up to go ahead that other 10 or 15 feet to get the water that will save his life. They found them with their hands clawing in the sand a few feet from salvation. Let me tell you something, bless God. If you want to drink, you can drink. Nobody can keep you from it. Nobody can quench you and hold you down. If you really want to drink from the wells of salvation, bless God, you come and drink. For it's free. There is no price on it. I used to watch them. Still do. When they come and pray for the first time. Some get a little satisfied spirit. Go away. Some get a semi-satisfied spirit and stay. Some get a quenching of their thirst. And they make good ones. Come on now, that's the truth. You know it is. I ain't trying to down nobody. I'm telling you, if you really get the water, you get immersed in it. Come on now. You get covered up in it. One place in the scripture said, I waded out a little ways to my knees. I waded out to my waist. Then I got right out there so many furlongs each time until I got in swimming water. Let me tell you something, glory be to God. If you really want to enjoy old time holiness in the way it ought to be, get out in the swimming water. Woman said to him, we don't have any dealings. He said, if you'd asked me, I'd have gave you a drink and you'll never thirst again. Conversation went on. Finally, she got her curiosity aroused and the desire to have this water so that she didn't have to come and draw from the well anymore. So she said, give me this water that I don't have to come here and draw water anymore. You know what he told her? He asked her a question. Oh, I like this. He said, where is thy husband? She said, I have none. He said, well, you said, you've had five and the one you have now is not your own. Oh, let me tell you something. There are things that you need to be asked before you drink of this water. You need to ask questions of yourself. Hallelujah. When you come down to wanting more of the Lord, I don't know, God's got me preaching to somebody here at this highway of holiness today. I feel it in my bones. Somebody's wanting more of God. If you want more of God, you can't bargain with Him. You've just got to say, here I am. Oh. I'll do this, Lord, if you'll do this for me. That don't work. That don't work. The way it works is, He'll tell you exactly what He wants you to do. You dig enough and get close enough to Him. Now, the answer will not always be what you want. Amen. I'm talking from experience. When the Lord called me to preach, amen, I was ready to go. I'd prayed through. But my wife wasn't ready to go. She wasn't praying through. Whole new ball game for my wife. Bless her heart, she loved me dearly. But she questioned whether I'd ever preach a lick or not. Oh, hallelujah. And I don't blame her. Here I was untried by far. Had no power to try me. I'd drunk to the water. I'd been to the fountain. And the fountain to give me my orders. But she had to pray through. But she prayed through. And she drank to the fountain. And then everything was all right. Lord knows why I'm having to preach like this. There's a woman. Said, I don't only want you to give me the Southland, but give me the Springs. Oh, seems like I may even be preaching to some sister. I don't know. Hallelujah. Amen. Give me the Southlands, but I also want the Springs. The nobles, amen, and the princes dig the well. Where did the lawgiver said to dig? Bless God, the woman at the well first had to come clean with the Lord before he could ever give her a drink of that living water. Oh, I feel this in my bones. I'm preaching to somebody. I never dreamed when I left the house that I'd be preaching to somebody here like this. Oh, hallelujah. You want more of God? You can't bargain with the Lord. No. You let Him tell you, bless God. I don't know. Your husband may be able to preach. I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe in the same situation my wife was in. I have no idea. But I do know one thing. She spent many a night, 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, on the road with me while our children got their education in the back seat of a station wagon. There were times when I felt sorry for her. She had about 3 different jobs, one at home, one with the children, and one in my ministry. Oh, God, hallelujah, it's no easy road. But if you'll drink from the water, it'll make it easier.
Yeah. Come on. Come on.
Drinking from the water. Hey. Now the springs may dry up all around you. I know there's some people when they get in trouble, they've got their favorite person who might speak to them words of encouragement through the Spirit. They'll run to that person maybe. I'm not saying that's altogether wrong. If that person's a good person, and if there's a real gift involved, and if there's no fallacy or phoniness about the whole thing, I'm not saying that's bad. Praise God. But that source may not be helping you. Praise God. Sometimes we may even run to our favorite preacher or evangelist. Bless God. Seeking to get a drink of the water. But at that time, not saying anything about the preacher evangelist. At that time, there's no comfort that comes that way. You might seek out your favorite lay member and talk to them about the thing and seek help in making your decision. Oh, God, Lord, you got me preaching to somebody to make your decision. But let me tell you something. Sometimes nobody can help, but you got to go straight to God Almighty and let Him do it. My brothers in the Lord did not call me to preach. My sisters in the Lord did not call me to preach. The Lord dealt with me. And on my bed at night I would roll. Oh Lord, what is it you want of me? Pretty soon He is telling me, Paul, I want you to go preach. Don't look back. I'm going to tell you something. We was raised in a church in a one-room schoolhouse. We never had hardly a pastor to help us. We didn't have no pastor to mount anything. Old Brother Millard Moore to open the service and close the service, done the best he knowed how. Never had the baptism of the Holy Ghost even. Here I was. No teachings under a good pastor like some of you young men and women have had here at the Highway of Holiness. No one to direct my steps. I had to feel my way. Now if you think it would be hard for you to obey the call of God on your life, how hard do you think it was for me to obey the call of God on my life? Not knowing anyone, not acquainted with the ministers, stepping out 1 foot at a time.
Right.
Woo! Yes, sir. There were good men, many good men that helped me. I appreciate every one of them. I think about them often. One of the men that's been good to me such here tonight, your pastor. Let me tell you something. Maybe if I had a little more, I wouldn't have made near as many mistakes. Not the kind that would ostracize you from the church. No, I've lived a good, clean life. But oh, there was other things along the line, if I'd have knew more about them and had more teaching about them. Come on now, church, hallelujah. I'm trying to give you an example. God wants you to drink of the water for yourself. Go do what He wants to. After He fills you up with that sweet water, baptizes you in the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God give utterance, you go and God will open the door.
I didn't have no more sense than say, yeah, Lord, whatever you will. That's all He needed. He knew I'd do fine after a while. I walked into the biggest church at that time in Richmond, Indiana. God told me on my bed, said, I'll send you there for a revival. When I got there, parking lot was full. House was full. This was in the 70s. I walked in with only the promise that this was going to be my first revival. Woo! There I was. A backwoods country boy from Harlan, Kentucky. Out of a one-room schoolhouse church. Yes, sir. And I walked right down the aisle. I got halfway down the aisle. And the pastor said, here comes a homeless man. I can tell by the smile on his face. And he said, the Lord has sent you here for revival. Woo! Hey, are you frightened about doing what the Lord wants you to do? Just go to the waters and drink of the waters. Step right out for God. Don't worry about a thing. Follow His voice every time He speaks to you, and He'll be right with you. We baptized a bunch of converts in that revival. Hallelujah, the first one. I remember the first message I preached on. And I preached on Adam and Eve had no covering for their sins. Hallelujah. That's what I preached on. Amen. About the coats of skins that God made to cover up their nakedness and so on and so forth. Hallelujah. But I'm preaching to you here tonight. Is my time up, brother? You tell me. I feel something way down deep inside. There's somebody that's wanting to step out for God. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. That was my first revival. I preached around a while. Then I'll tell you the story about this church right here. The Lord said, you go over there and I'll give you revival there. And I knew the pastor slightly, not very well. And I sat up there on the pulpit. And there was a sister sitting right over here on the right. And the Lord said, now shortly, you're going to pray for that sister over there. And the Lord's going to heal her. And I kept sitting there. And just a little while, the Lord said, now, Paul, now's the time. Now's the time. And I got the pastor by the hand. I said, I need to pray for that sister. And off of this altar, I come and prayed for her. And she testified to her healing. And the pastor said, well, you want to come to revival? I said, I'd like to start tomorrow night. Hallelujah. That's how I preached my first meeting at the Highway of Holiness. I still don't claim to know everything, folks. I'm still a little bit on the backwoods side of life. But I still know the voice of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You hear me? I still know the voice of the Lord. I left out of home this evening early. And I drove and drove and drove. I said, wonder if you want me to go here, Lord. No. Wonder if you want me to go over there. And I passed up a bunch of places where you turn off. Down the interstate come Oscar Oakley. Flashed his lights at me, honked his horn. I said, Lord, I wonder if you want me to follow him. He showed up here on the scene. Maybe I should follow him and go over there wherever he's going. Amen. Hallelujah. Some said, no. I said, no. I said, that's just one of them things. Don't follow him. You just keep driving. I got down there on the Route 4. Turn off. He said, turn off here. You know that I want you to go over to the highway tonight. Praise God. Here I am at the highway. Not much, just a handful of clay. Woo! Well, let me tell you something. My wife said to herself, what about the children? If he goes and preaches far distance away, I'd drive all the way to Macedonia, Kentucky for 2 weeks revival every night and back at work every day. Come on, church, hallelujah. Amen. I know somebody said, why did you go full time? That ain't what the Lord told me to do, so I just did it like he wanted done. Bless God. She said, what about the children? I said, the Lord will take care of the children. My oldest daughter, my son-in-law, Sunday school superintendent, youth leader for High School Carpenter, my oldest son, a preaching pastor in the church, Hagen, Georgia. I was just down there last week with him, preacher of black church on St. Helens Island while I was down there, where that Brother Suits preaches a lot at. And I thought like this, praise God, when I look back over the anxieties that we had and look out and see what the Lord has done for me against all odds. One's a preacher, the other's the wife to Sunday school superintendent. Got two more, one in church and one that don't go to church. I don't feel that the Lord has done a bad job of taking care of the children. I want you to give me the upper spring and the lower spring to water the southlands. Then I want you nobles and you princes to dig a well. And then way down yonder, the well and the spring come together. Amen. I feel the Spirit leaving now. I'm going to give it back to Brother Collins. My best advice to you, come right down here. Drink of enough of this water to where you'll have confidence to do what you need to do. Nobody in this part of the country, or Kentucky, upper part of Indiana, I preach as far north as Fairbanks, Alaska, for a web that's got a church up there. There's a web that's got a church up there. It ain't no kin to the other webs. But I haven't done those things to glory on them. But I'm just telling you these things to let you know that the Lord can take a backwoods child from a one-room schoolhouse church who had a washboard mama and a coal mine and daddy and send him forth and win souls for him. Time and again I've watched the lost walk down the aisle. This life for me is not over yet. God's blessed me with another day. And if he blesses me with many more days, there'll be other times when I'll see the souls come and pray. But if I'd have been afraid of what I needed to do, if I'd have said, Lord, if I'd have been like Moses, if I'd have said, Lord, I'm slow of speech. I can't go. I'm not polished enough to go. But you know what? I just used what I had. And here I am tonight. Think whatever you may. Everybody has their opinions, and that's what makes the world so great. Think whatever you may. I'm right in the middle of the Lord's will. We're going to sing a song. Maybe you'd like to pray about these matters. I prayed a lot about mine. I know. See, I never ever lied to myself. I always tell myself the truth and tell everybody else the truth too. I'm very unbiased with myself. And I always told myself, Paul, you got some education in high school, you got a little bit of college in electronics, but you're just a country boy. You're just a country boy. They brought me to Cincinnati in 1953 with bib overhauls on and my hair slicked straight back, a pair of brogans on. My feet stuck me in Woodrow, behind Woodrow High School in the colonies with all them city kids. I got in a fight every 5 minutes. And I come home and Mama said, son, I don't understand why you're having a problem. You never had this down at Splint, Kentucky when we lived down there. I said, Mama, them people don't like me. She said, why? I said, I don't dress like them. And I don't talk like they do. This is in the 50s. They called me Hick and all them other names they want them. And Hillbilly and all them other things. But I got so, there was one big in there. He whooped me about 4 or 5 days in a row. He was a bully of the bunch. Buddy, I finally fetched him. Amen. After that, they kind of left me alone a whole lot. But Mama said, well, what's the problem? I said, well, for one, I don't dress like him. I wear these bibbed overhauls and these clodhoppers. She took me down on Race Street to them Jew outfits down there that sold all the clothes and everything. All the stores was Jewish up and down through there. And he outfitted me with a pair of them slip-on shoes. And some of them, we called them belt pants. And I went back to school with my belt pants on and my shoes on. And the rest of them guys said, you look pretty good. Said, you coming along all right, Hillbilly. Before long, I made out pretty good. Come while we sing a song.